What a year it has been. That might be one of the only races that this guy didn't win this year was the Kentucky Derby, but he did win the Kentucky Oaks with Monomoy Girl. He is trainer Brad Cox, who, Brad, how about this? I don't know if you realize this or not, if you keep track of these things, but I just went to Equibase right before you were going to be set to join us here this morning. You have trained 10 different graded stakes winners here in 2018. Unbelievable. Congratulations.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks, you. Thanks for having me on this morning.
What's the secret, man? How do you do it?
Good horses and good clients. it's been a great year. It's been a great year, and things have, been on the upswing, and, you know, it's mostly because of very talented horses and great clients.
Start by talking about your most recent success. That came late yesterday afternoon beneath those twin spires. That's been a good place for you this year. The Clark Handicap going to Leo Frick, who holds off a Game Bravazo to get the victory. Tell me about that race.
It was an amazing race, amazing effort by the horse, Leo Frick. He's a very nice horse. He's really developed this year. We've had to take our time with him. We've had him right at 2 years. Liz Crowe bought him out of the November sale in 2016, and we've had him ever since. We've had to stop on him a few times with some feed issues and stuff, but he's a solid horse, and he had to really fight off Bravazo yesterday at the eighth pole. I didn't know if he was going to hold on or not, but he really dug in and fought hard to win the race. It was an amazing effort.
That's kind of the hallmark of this horse, isn't it? Digging in. He's as game a horse as you could ever have. I mean, it's just amazing how he just finds that extra all the time.
Yeah, he's a fighter. I mean, he gets his head in front. He does not want to be passed. Obviously he knows what his job is. He shows up for us every time, and he's really put things together this fall, and then, you know, just really turned into just a new horse, really. I mean, he's a horse that does require some time after some races. He ran a big race in the Woodward at Saratoga this late summer, and just kind of, we didn't really take him out of training or anything, but just really give him some time between that and the Fayette at Keeneland, and he responded well and thought, you know, that it would be a good setup at the Clark. We were pointing for the Clark after the Fayette. We're just going to let him kind of tell us if he was up for it or not. And he had two solid works here at Churchill post Fayette. He responded well yesterday.
Is that the key, just not get in a rush with them, just kind of let him tell you?
Yeah, without a doubt. Not really, that's the case with most horses. I mean, you got to kind of let them tell you when they're ready to run as opposed to you telling them. You're obviously put in spots where, you know, you're not as confident with horses. You know, every horse you lead over there, there's a little different confidence level, I guess you would say. But we felt really good about him yesterday. And, he like I said, he always gives you what he's got. He never lets you down. We knew he was set up for a big effort yesterday, and he gave it to us. But he is a horse you definitely got to watch. I mean, Mr. Landers has been incredibly patient with him and listened to us. And, after the Razorback in Hot Springs back in February, you know, there's two really nice races there at Oaklawn that, you know, he would have definitely been one of the choices in. But, you know, he just wasn't ready for it, and he was patient with him. And he never left our barn, but we did have to back off of him, and we kept him at the barn and just kind of give him time. And he started putting things together this spring, and we got him back to the races at Prairie Meadows. We was at Churchill, and we shipped some horses up for some stakes, and there was a race there, and we shipped him up for that. And, you know, he's been on track ever since.
Brad, you talk about him letting you know when he's ready to run. How about Monomoy Girl? How does she let you know when she's ready to run? Because it seems like she always is.
Yeah, she's very consistent. I mean, she's an unbelievable workhorse. She gives you what she has, she does whatever you ask of her every week in her works. And, you know, leading up to the Breeders' Cup, she confidence level was way up. I mean, she was training extremely aggressive in her gallops, not over the top, but just aggressive in her gallops, paying attention, focusing, and just really put things together, you know, two, 3 weeks prior to the Breeders' Cup. You could tell she was ready for an A effort. She needed that against those older mares. It was a heck of a race, and she definitely needed to bring her A game, and she brought it, and it worked out well.
Yeah, she ran an incredible race that day. You gave her some time off. Is Leo Frick going to have a little rest now? Was that his last race of the year?
I would say probably the last race of the year, but we won't take him out of training. You know, he's a horse that was pretty much out of training from February to, say, April. We'll just kind of keep things turning over with him. You know, where we start next is kind of unknown, but he will not be turned out or anything or go to a farm. He'll stay right here with us. We'll probably ship him south in the next week or two to the fairgrounds and do some training there. Not necessarily meaning that's where he'll run, but that's where he'll be stable the month of December.
What do the next several months look like for Montemoy Girl?
She's currently at Windstar, just on, you know, a little, and being turned out in a small round pen and hand walking and just kind of getting her feet back underneath of her. She looks great. She really, really came out of the distaff in great shape. We sent her to the clinic for an evaluation. Everything went extremely well. Very happy with what, you know, for a horse that's basically been in training for a solid year and a half. She'd never been out of our barn for, I guess, a little more than a year and a half. And that really came down to the decision to give her the break. We sent her over. She got a clean bill of health, but just thought, you know, with what we're trying to do, and that would be win the Breeders' Cup distaff next year. It just made more sense to give her the time. She deserved it. And, you know, we'd flirted with the idea of the Pegasus, but, you know, kind of thought make a run into distaff, try to have an incredible 2019. And, you know, in 2020, if the Pegasus is there and she's five and she's in good form, maybe that'll be the year we take our shot.
Trainer Brad Cox, our special guest here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. As you heard, it has been a magical year training 10 different greatest stakes winners, winning the Breeders' Cup distaff with Montemoy Girl and coming back with Leo Frick to take the Grade 1 Clark yesterday at Churchill. And because of all that success, Brad is our industry star of the week. And this interview segment always brought to you by our good friend Stuart Morris, who offers a boutique full-service bloodstock operation. He is very thankful to all of his clients. If you're going to take a look at a consigner when you go to a major sale, make sure you stop by that Stuart Morris consignment. But, Brad, we couldn't think of anybody better to make our industry star of the week than you, considering this year that you've had.
Well, thank you very much. That's an honor, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. As somebody who grew up in Louisville, just a stone's throw from Churchill Downs, to win the Kentucky Oaks earlier this year, take me back to that day, the first Friday in May, and put me there with you as she's storming down the stretch.
Well, it was a dogfight. It was an extremely good race between her and Wonder Godot. You know, it was a battle down the lane, and, you know, it looked like she got passed around the eighth pole, and she had to battle back. And, you know, I don't know, some people out there thought, I'd heard some people say a mile and an eighth would be her undoing. At the quarter pole, I kind of thought, okay, she's got this. And then, you know, she did kind of wait. I don't want to use the word wait, but Wonder Godot definitely made a horse race out of it. And she had the battle, and she definitely got the mile and an eighth, and it was a battle, and it was an exciting race. Probably the most exciting race I've ever watched. Now, I watch all the races on TV, and I was doing some screaming and jumping and yelling at the TV. So it was unbelievably exciting, and it was a great race.
Yeah, that was a tremendous performance, and certainly a highlight of that weekend. And that was just a crazy 2 days with you winning the Oaks and then Justify and. It was certainly a Derby weekend to remember.
Yeah, it was an amazing weekend. It's always a good card here, Derby week. It was definitely a big, you know, for the break from the 14, I think a lot of people forget that, you know, Florent had to use her a little bit to get position, and she established it and, kind of took control of the race, I guess, right inside the half-mile pole and, you know, held off for Battle of Wonder Godot. So it was a huge effort, and, just very proud of her.
Brad, would you attend the Oaks when you were growing up around it there in Louisville?
Yeah, absolutely. I remember I came to some Oaks early on, but I can remember Gallon of Ruckus. I watched that when it was probably my first and only Oaks in the infield. I remember watching Gallon of Ruckus for John John Ward and John Oxley. I don't remember the year, but I watched that one in the infield, and that one just kind of stuck out to me. But yeah, I've been to several Oaks, and it's definitely a tradition here in Louisville.
Take me back to that day when you were in the infield. Paint that picture for me.
it was just me and a buddy, and we just came over, and, you know, he's just betting on horses, and it was a good day. And for some reason, I just remember her. It was an Oaks that just stuck out in my mind. It was in the 90s. I can't remember the exact year, but it was it's always a wild time in the infield. I've never been to the infield on Derby. I'm hoping I don't end up in the infield on Derby. I prefer being in the paddock or around the paddock there when they're running the Derby.
That name Gallon of Ruckus, that kind of sums up a lot of the gals in the infield on the Oaks and Derby Day.
That's exactly right.
Brad, not only did you have that success in the greatest stakes races this year that we've talked about, but on November 18th at the fairgrounds, just 6 days ago, you saddle milestone winner number 1,000. That had to be extremely special.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, you know, it seemed like things had kind of snowballed over the last few years, and it was great to kind of get it behind. It was definitely great to get it behind us, because I think, you know, I had some people say, hey, look, 10 away, 8 away. And it kind of seemed like us were getting those texts for months. And I was like, I just wish this thing would hurry up. So it just seemed like things kind of were stagnant there for a while, leading up to number 1,000, and so a lot of seconds and thirds, it seemed like. But it was good to finally, you know, get number 1,000, and, you know, it was a great achievement. Very proud of the team. It's definitely a lot of people behind the scenes and that go into this, and, you know, from grooms, exercise riders, hot walkers, foremen's assistants. And it's definitely a team effort. And, a lot of guys have been there for a lot of wins, I can tell you that. I mean, we got a good crew and a good staff and assistants that put a ton of time and effort into this, and you can't do it without them. There's no doubt about it.
So what's your winter going to look like? You're going to be like Fairgrounds, Oaklawn? Is that going to be your main tracks?
Yeah, the Fairgrounds, Oaklawn. We'll keep some horses at Louisiana Downs. It's the first year they've offered stabling there with Evangeline Training Center being closed. So I think it's going to work out really well with Louisiana Downs being in the mix. It'll be kind of a hub for both places, Fairgrounds and Oaklawn. And then we'll keep a string in New York as well, Belmont, ship over to Aqueduct, and run throughout the winter.
Talking with trainer Brad Cox here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Brad, you joined us back in 2014, January of 2014, to be exact, on our Wednesday night trainer talk program that we have here on the network. At that point, you had saddled 253 winners. You are now up to 1,003. How much different is Brad Cox as a trainer now than you were back in 2014?
Well, I mean, busier. I guess that would be the right answer. I don't feel like, you know, I think things change a little bit as time goes on. So, I mean, I can't really see a big difference. But, you know, it's a little more spread out, which I enjoy it. I mean, I like action. I like runners. I mean, I think we had 11 runners yesterday, and I really like that. I mean, it's you know, something to look forward to. You know, you watch one run at the fairgrounds, go saddle one at Churchill, watch it run, then back to the fairgrounds and up in New York. So we had a busy day yesterday, and I like it. I mean, I'm into that right now. I'm 38. I feel like I can handle it. I don't know if that'll be the case 10, 15, 20 years from now, but I really enjoy what we're doing. I enjoy having a lot of horses and, you know, being competitive and trying to be competitive and, you know, winning races. There's nothing like it. It's winning. It's addicting. And then the more you get, the more you want. So I really enjoy what we do.
All right, Brad Cox here on HRRN. Brad, I know it's a busy day for you. We'll let you go. Go continue to celebrate that big win, but I know it's short-lived in a trainer's life because you got to get right back to work today. Good luck today and moving forward, and we'll look forward to catching up with you soon.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Duke. Best of luck to you guys.